Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
You were born for this. So let's do a recap from last week. We'll see how well you guys remember. The first point from last week was that, number one, that good deeds are not... what? Good deeds are not enough, right? In other words, good deeds are important. And you have kind of two different categories. You have the people that are believe in good deeds. They believe in miracles, but they don't expect God to do miracles on an everyday basis. Okay, so they're over on my left. You're right. And then you have the other people that expect miracles each and every day, and that's where they live. Okay, so that's the land of signs and wonders. And so what we talked about is that good deeds are important, but they're not enough to meet the needs that are present in our culture and in our world. So we gave some illustrations of that. Number two, we talked about human weakness opens the door for the miraculous. Sometimes we go, you know what, God, I can't meet the need. Either I don't have enough money, I don't have enough spiritual power, I don't have enough gifting to meet the need. Okay? And so Peter and John see the crippled man that he'd been crippled from birth, Acts chapter 3. And Peter says, silver and gold we don't have. That's what the man wanted, right? But what we do have in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. So their human weakness opened the door for the miraculous. And so this man is miraculously healed. He hadn't walked since birth. He is able to run, leap, shout for joy, and praise God. And then that led to the gospel spreading in Jerusalem and for God to do some great things. All right, number three was that God invites you to partner with Him. So those were the points from last week. This morning I want to dig a little bit deeper. What does it look like for us to partner with God? What are some keys to us partnering with God? What does that look like, and how can we do that? So we got a few stories, illustrations that we will talk about. But I want us to begin with Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah was one of the major prophets, we call major prophets, him and Jeremiah. It wasn't so much that they were more significant than the minor prophets. It more has to do with the size of the book and what they wrote. Okay. So, Isaiah chapter 6. So let's look at that together. We're going to begin with a word of prayer. But in your Old Testament there, Isaiah chapter 6. All right. Mary, are you playing Pac-Man over there? That's what it sounded like. I haven't heard that sound for a while. All right. Somebody's getting gobbled up. All right. Let's look to the Lord in prayer today. Father, we just thank you for this time to study your word. It is a privilege and an honor, Lord God, just to be gathered here. And Father, I just pray in these moments we have that you'd make your word come alive to us. And we just ask for the help of your spirit. We ask it in your name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6. So this is Isaiah's commission. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted. This is what Isaiah is saying. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Okay, so like a bride has the train of her robe, God's robe, his greatness, his glory, filled the temple. Above him were seraphs. Seraphs are fiery angels, burning angels. Usually our description or understanding of angels are kind of white, fluffy. When you read Scripture, angels are kind of, they've been to Jay's fitness class, okay? They kind of, they're tall, they're big, and you don't want to mess with them, all right? And the seraphs are a little more interesting because they have six wings, okay? And they're fiery. It says, there were seraphs, each had six wings. Two wings, they covered their faces because of God's glory and His presence. With two wings, they covered their feet, and with two wings, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. So Isaiah is kind of getting this picture of God in heaven. The posts and the threshold shook the temple, and it was filled with smoke. Isaiah says, woe to me. In other words, I'm done. I'm finished. I'm toast. Because I'm in the presence of God, right? I'm ruined. Say, I am ruined. Not I am Groot. I am ruined. All right. I am ruined. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I've lived among a people with unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. So Isaiah is in the presence of God. And I know there's times that we maybe have sensed God's presence come into a place, into a room, a time when we've been seeking God. But Isaiah and Moses, some of these people encountered the very presence of God, and it was too much for a human being to handle. Verse 6, then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. So imagine you got the fire pit going and taking some tongs and getting a live coal that is glowing, red, hot, taking that and putting it on your lips. What do you think that would feel like? Ah, right? That hot. But it touched his lips. It says, your guilt has been taken away. Your sin has been atoned for. So it was a symbolic thing saying that I'm purifying you. I'm cleansing you. I'm making you clean. Then the voice of the Lord was saying, whom shall I send? In other words, who am I going to send to the people of Israel? Who will speak to them? Who will go for us? And I said, this is Isaiah speaking. He says, here am I. Send me. Here am I, send me. The first key that I want us to catch when we're talking about God delivering a miracle through us to somebody else, the first thing is that we need to catch, and that's on the back there, is it is called the master key. Okay, you ever had a master key? When I worked at the Bible college, just out of Bible college, and it was youth pastoring, I had a master key, and I actually could make keys. It was the best key system. Okay, if I think even the schools here use the best key. It's a good system. Anyway, I could make keys, but a master key was significant because it could open up every lock, right, in the building, or sometimes even for the whole facility if you had a master key, right? It just clicked and it opened up. If you just had a key for a room, you could open up that room, but you try it anywhere else, it wouldn't open up. But a master key would open up everything else. The master key is asked to be sent. That is the master key, asked to be sent. And you may think that's kind of a funny point, but notice that Isaiah just doesn't say, Lord, I am willing to be used by you. He says, Lord, send me. Lord, send me. Now, I know most of you are willing to be used by God throughout the week, throughout a day. And maybe you wake up each morning and you're open to that. But how many of you begin each day saying, Lord, send me. Let me be your vessel that you can deliver a miracle through to touch somebody else's life. There's a difference between that saying, I'm willing, and saying, Lord, send me today. I'm ready, okay? Now, imagine the control room of heaven. I think it's a busy place, all right? It's the control room of heaven. God is up there. He's commanding things, and he looks out. He has a mission that has come to his attention that needs to be handled, okay? It's mission control. The mission comes forward, and he looks out over the crowd. Who am I going to send? Who's a good fit for this? Who can I send? Who will be willing to go? And before he's able to pick somebody, you stand up and say, Lord, send me. What do you think God's going to do? He's going to say, huh? You know? Yeah, I guess they would fit. I guess they would work. And God will say, yeah, I will send you to do the mission that has come forward that needs to be completed. Lord, send me. There's a difference between being willing and beginning each day saying, God, send me. And I encourage you to change how you pray and how you begin each day. Do you have to have devotions in the morning? No, you don't have to, but it's a good time to do that because I think if you're beginning a new day. But, you know, and often You know, sometimes we just go into our prayer list, right? Say, I'm praying this. And we need to begin with saying, God, come into his presence and let his presence speak to him. Thank him for what he has done. But I think we even need to include in there saying, God, I'm available, and Lord, send me if you want to deliver a miracle through my life today to somebody else. Okay? That's the first point. Everybody got it? Number two, Isaiah 9 and 10, verses 9 and 10. He said, go and tell this people, the Lord says, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused, make their ears dull, and close their eyes. Otherwise they may see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. Now that seems kind of weird, doesn't it? Okay. But what Isaiah's role was to go and to share with the people of Israel the judgment was coming, that they needed to get their hearts right with God. And what Isaiah was going to provide is that they would be without excuse. All right? Now, a lot of people would reject Isaiah. They would reject Jeremiah. They would reject many of the prophets. In fact, when you get to the ministry of Jesus, it talks about that a lot of the prophets were abused and mistreated, right? And so it wasn't easy to be a prophet. But that's what God was calling Isaiah to do, was to go to the people that God loved and to give them a warning to turn their heart towards God. Not everybody listened, but I believe some did. The second key is the people key, and that is to share God's heart for people. To share God's heart for people. You may think that is obvious, but that is not always the case. Sometimes we can be pretty calloused and we can be pretty hard to the people that God maybe is saying, God, I want to go on a miracle. I want to deliver a miracle. And then we find out who it's to, and it's kind of like, oh, okay. Is there any of the missions up there, God? Right? So Bruce Wilkinson, I'm taking some thoughts from the book You Were Born for This by Bruce Wilkinson. He did the prayer, Jabez and others. But he shares a story about he was on a flight to L.A. and he's flying in to do a conference out there, and he got upgraded. I think he was sitting in business class, he said, and so there was an empty seat next to him. He gets in there and he realized, whoo, great, you know. You get in there and he has an empty seat next to him, and he's kind of excited because he just kind of wanted some peace and quiet. He's working on a book, his next book, and so he's kind of looking forward to that. And maybe some of you, when you've flown, you've kind of felt that same way. You know, it gives you a little extra space to stretch out. But all of a sudden, here's somebody come into the plane, and you could tell that they were intoxicated. They had too much to drink just by how they were talking. And he goes, oh, great. And they come in, and he calls them the Rainbow Metal Man because his hair was dyed, and he had all sorts of jewelry around his neck, and he had piercings all over. And then he was partially drunk. And guess what? He came up, and the empty seat is where this guy was going to sit. That was his seat. And so he sat right next to Mr. Wilkinson. And so Mr. Wilkinson was not too excited about this because he envisioned this quiet time where he could work on this book, and here now he has this man that is kind of loud, obnoxious, sitting right next to him. And so the plane takes off, and they get into flight, and he worked on his book, and he kind of turned his back to the guy and just tried to stay very focused on what he was doing, didn't give this guy the time of day. And halfway through the flight, God was just speaking to him, and he's just rejecting it, saying, I'm not going to talk to the guy. I want my space. Finally, God got a hold of his heart. And so he turned and talked with the guy and talked with him a little bit. And Rainbow Metal Man says, hey, man, that looks like a good book. He goes, how do you know? But oh, I've been reading it over your shoulder. But they started talking, and the guy had already had a few more drinks. They wouldn't serve him anymore because they said he had had enough. But he started talking, and he goes, you know what? One of my best friends passed away the day before last, and that was really getting to him. And he says, I didn't sleep at all last night because, he goes, I'm worried about my own soul and where I'll spend eternity. And he goes, I don't know. I don't know where I'm at with God. I don't know if there is a heaven. But what I prayed during the middle of this night when I couldn't sleep, I said, God, if you are real, send somebody my way that can explain Christ to me, that can explain God to me. Send me a priest. He goes, are you a priest? And Wilkinson is not a Catholic priest, but he referred to the verse that Josh read, that you are a royal, what? Priesthood, a holy people. He goes, I guess I'm a priest. And anyway, they finished out the rest of that flight talking about God. And this man was, he was coordinating the rock concert for the Rose Bowl that was happening that year in L.A. And God sent this man to speak with him and to share Christ with him. I don't know where it went beyond that, but that man had an opportunity to hear Christ and to hear about God. That's pretty cool, isn't it? You may think that we always have a heart for God, but I want to give a biblical example, and that is Jonah. Okay, we know Jonah and the big fish, right? Right? Jonah and the big fish. God came to Jonah and says, God, I want you to go to the people of Nineveh and Assyria, to the north of Israel, their enemy that was hostile to them. They had a horrible reputation of being cruel and mean. If I told you some of the things, it would just make you cringe, okay? And God comes to Jonah and says, I want you to go and talk to them because I'm going to destroy Nineveh if they don't repent. And so Jonah, being the good prophet he is, packed his bags and said, I'm going, right? No. Nineveh's that way, and he's going the opposite direction. He's heading to the coast. He gets on a ship, and he's getting as far away from Nineveh as he can. And then he gets on the ship. The storms come. They realize it is Jonah that is the issue, and so they toss him overboard. Can you imagine that in our culture? They toss him overboard. He's swallowed by a big fish, spends 3 days in the belly of a big fish. Everybody thinks it's a whale, but you know, it could have been a tuna or something. I don't know. Could have been a whale shark. Anyway, after 3 days, Jonah repents and says, God, I will go to Nineveh. The big fish spits him out on dry land. He goes to Nineveh, but he's still the reluctant prophet, folks. He's not going with this love and compassion for the people of Nineveh. He's going because he doesn't want to be stuck in a big fish, all right? And he goes and he speaks to the people of Nineveh. Hopefully he doesn't smell like he's been in the inside of a fish still. He took a bath. But he goes, and guess what happens? He preaches to them, and what do the people do? They repent. Can you imagine that? Even though he probably didn't have his whole heart and soul into it, the people repent. They fast. They tear their clothes. They say, God, don't send judgment. And God hears the prayer, and he spares the people of Nineveh. A great revival takes place in Nineveh. God doesn't want us to have the heart of Jonah. He wants us to have the heart that beats for the people of God like his heart is. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, right? That's the heart that God wants to have us to have, that we can care for people around us on the same way, even if they're rainbow metal man, all right? Number three is the Spirit key. And that is partner with God's Spirit. Partner with God's Spirit. Isaiah would not be able to do what God had called him to do. It would be the Spirit of God resting upon his life that allow him to speak God's word, but it would be his power that it would equip him. And while you and I can deliver a miracle for God, only God can do the miracle, right? You have no power to do a miracle. You can be a vehicle. You can be the delivery person, the UPS guy. So here's your package. Here's your miracle. You can't do the miracle without God's help, without God's Spirit upon your life. You have to partner with God. You know what? But this is what God says. This is what Jesus says in John chapter 14, 11 through 14. It's pretty cool. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. What were some of the works that Jesus had been doing? Healing, blind, lame, deliverance, right? All those things he was able to do. He who believes in me will do the works that I've been doing. Do you believe in him? Okay, does that mean that then you can do the miracles that Jesus was doing? That's what he kind of infers there, doesn't he? They will do even greater things than these, than Jesus, because I'm going to the Father. That doesn't make any sense. You're going to do greater things than I did because I'm getting out of here. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus says, I am going, but I am leaving the Holy Spirit to empower you, to equip you. And because I'm leaving, you're going to be able to do even greater things than I was ever able to do. We don't usually, you know, we maybe read that, but do you believe that when you wake up every morning, when you live each day of the week? Do you believe that? That God could do that through you. But that's what God's Word says. And so the Spirit key is saying, hey, God, I'm willing to partner with you and your Spirit. I can deliver the miracle, but unless your Spirit is able to perform it, it's empty. It's an empty box. It's an empty delivery. We do the work, but the Spirit does the miracle. In other words, we have to go out. We have to make the delivery. We have to be available. We have to say, God, send me. But it's still the Spirit of God that does the miracle. I've shared this, but it's been a while since I shared this. When we first moved to our first kind of pastorate, senior pastorate, I was 24 years old. Amy was 22. We were young in ministry. I'd youth pastored for a couple of years. But it was a smaller community, a little bit bigger than Wilbur, 2,000 to 3,000 people. We went into that community, a church of 40 people on a good Sunday, 42, I believe, on a good Sunday. And we went in there and joined the Kiwanis Club and got involved in the community. And through Kiwanis, the service group, I got to know a photographer that came to there. And he was just out of college and starting his own business in this small town. And he had a girlfriend. They were living together. But he also had cichlid fish. How many know what cichlid fish are? They're freshwater fish, but anybody know what a cichlid is? African cichlid? Okay, they have saltwater characteristics. They have that quickness and aggressiveness, okay? And they're very bright colors, like a saltwater fish, but they're freshwater, and they come from Africa. So he had some electric blue cichlid fish. They're just beautiful, okay? And they can get pretty big. So he had some babies. He said, hey, are you interested in any some? I'll give them to you. It's kind of like, sure, yeah, that's cool. So we went over. And, you know, he offered me a few things, and we kind of looked at the fish. We sat down and talked for a while. But as we were talking and getting those fish ready to go and everything, he just opened up. It was just kind of like out of the blue. He just opens up and says, you know what, we've been trying to have a kid for a couple years. They just got married, but they've been trying to have a kid for a couple years, you know. And she hadn't been able to conceive. And it was so strong on their mind that, you know, just through that relationship, and it's not like I knew him really well, but he brings it up. And me, being naive and ignorant and just out of Bible college and believing that God could do miracles, before we left, I said, well, let's pray with you. Let's just believe God that, you know, you can have a child. And so we prayed and prayed the prayer with them and that God would hear their prayer. And got my fish, went home. Amy was with me. But the cool thing about it is 9 months later, guess what? They had a baby boy. And he would move shortly after that, after the child was born. They would move to Fargo, North Dakota, a bigger town. And I stopped by to say bye to him before he left. And one of the things, he pulled me aside. He goes, you know, I was wanting to get a hold of you. He goes, we just wanted to thank you. They actually tracked it, and they said it was within 24 hours, 24 to 36 hours after we prayed with them that she conceived. And so every time that, you know, they looked at that child, they saw a miracle, and it was a reminder that God answers prayer. And I don't know where they're at with God now. That boy is probably, would be our kids' age in college, and maybe on with his life. So you never know where that went. All I know is that God did a pretty incredible thing there. And when we partner with him, I think the sky's the limit. Amen? Number four, the risk key. This is the hard one. Have faith in God. You know, when we're going to deliver something, you ever delivered somebody to somebody's house and go, I wonder if this is the right address, nobody's home, you know, am I going to knock on the door, get bit by a dog, you know, I don't know. Sometimes there's a little bit of a risk there. Isaiah was taking a risk in doing what God had called him to do. He would face a lot of opposition, a lot of hostility, but there was some risk there. There will always be an element of risk when you are partnering with God and doing his will. I think of Peter. Peter goes to Cornelius' house. He gives him the vision. Says, I want you to go with these men, but they're Roman soldiers. It was the Romans that had killed Jesus. There had to be a lot of risk there. And so he's going to this Roman centurion that is a God-fearer, that believes in God. He wants to know more. Doesn't know Christ as his Lord and Savior. But Peter goes with him. There was a huge risk there. How did he know it wouldn't be a trap? He would go out to there and they would jail him up and maybe execute him. He had no idea. They beheaded John the Baptist somewhere in that time frame previous. So there was some risk involved there. I think of Gideon. We referred to him 2 weeks ago. Gideon is an Old Testament judge, and he does a good job of recruiting 22,000 people to fight the Midianites and their armies. And that still was not enough people. The Midianites and these eastern countries still had more people, but at least it was something. And then God has the nerve to say, send him home. And so now he's down to 300 men, and he's going to attack the Midianites. There's a little bit of a risk factor there, folks. You're putting it all out there. You're going against a massive army that said was as vast as the sea. And with 300 men, the Midianites were defeated. Gideon took some risk. Wilkinson, in his book, shares a story about he was getting on a flight at Atlanta. He just felt that nudge by the Spirit of God that he was supposed to speak to somebody. He didn't know who it was and realized it was a lady that was behind him in line. And he kind of tried to start off a conversation, and the wall was there. There was this wall there. It's kind of like, oh, that's not going to go anywhere. And so he kind of kept probing, but she's kind of like, she was just shutting him down. It's kind of like, you're not helping me today, and I don't really want to talk to you today. So he just kind of let it sit for a little bit. All of a sudden, she goes, well, actually, I'm flying home to divorce my husband. And so then they began to dialogue, and they got on the plane, and they weren't sitting next to each other, but God worked that out, so they ended up sitting next to each other, and he was able to talk with her and just minister to her a little bit. And to speak God's truth into her life. But the initial response was, you know, he was kind of just stepping out there a little bit in faith, and it was a cold response at first. And so there was some risk involved. How many like rejection? That's what I thought. Yeah, I'm just not real big on it either. There's always risk in doing what God has called us to do. But when we trust God and have faith in God, and try to follow his voice, I believe that God is faithful. Amen? I'm going to have the musicians come. Just let's do some review. The master key is to ask to be sent. God, Lord, send me. The people key is God, share God's heart for people. The spirit key is to partner with God's spirit, realizing that we can deliver the miracle, but only God can do it. And the risk key, to have faith in God. And to trust him with all that. Amen? Amen? I believe that God can do things through our life. And I believe that most of the people, I know most of you, and I know most of you are willing to be used by God. If God would say, hey, I really need you to do this, most of you would do that. Because I ask you guys to do a few things here and there, and you're willing to do stuff. You're hard workers. But there's a difference between that and saying, God, beginning each day and saying, God, send me. I want to be your vessel that you flow through today. Do you have a mission for me today? I'm available. I'm willing. Send me. And then partner with God in his spirit. Take that risk. And share God's heart for people. Amen. Amen. I'd like to close this in prayer. I'm going to have those that can help out with prayer between Londa and Andy, if you'd come. You know, before God can use us, we do have to let Him in to our heart. We have to give Him the key to our heart and say, God, come into my heart and into my life. I need you as my Lord and my Savior. I need forgiveness of sins. I cannot get there on my own. I need to know you as my Lord and Savior. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior, I'm just going to give you an opportunity to do that today. We'll pray with you. But Scripture is very clear that it is not our good works that will get us into heaven. It is not our religion that will get us into heaven. It is not who we know that's going to get us into heaven. The only thing that's going to get us into heaven is Christ, and that Christ is in our life, that our sins have been forgiven, and that we know Him as our Lord and our Savior. That's the only way we get into heaven. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity just to pray a prayer of salvation this morning. And if that is your first time, I encourage you to come forward after we're done praying. Come forward and just kind of confirm that prayer with either Virginia or Londa or Andy this morning or myself. And we just want to get you started on the right journey. If you have other needs and requests, we encourage you to come forward as well. If you just want to make an altar up front here where you're at, saying, God, send me. I'm available to do your will. I encourage you to do that. But let's just join in a prayer of salvation today, just to confirm our relationship with Christ. But if that's your first time, would you pray that if you mean it with all your heart? Saying, Dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of going my own way and then ignoring you. Forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and be my Savior. And help me on the journey to know you better. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to come forward if you have a prayer request. If you prayed that prayer this morning, would you come and join us and let us just minister to you this morning a little bit. Let's sing that chorus together. It's called Oceans. Says, you call me out on the waters to the great unknown. Think of Peter. Peter took another risk too, didn't he? He sees Jesus walking on the water and he thinks, you know what? That's pretty cool. Lord, can I come out with you and walk on the water? Jesus says, sure. What do you think Peter felt like? You ever stepped out of a boat and walked on water? A little bit of risk involved? A lot of risk. But you know what? Those first few steps that Peter took, he was walking on water. And then he saw the waves, and it's kind of like, you know what? Human beings can't walk on water, and he began to sink. And Jesus just watched him sink. Can you believe that? That's not what Jesus did. Jesus did what? He reached out his hand and brought him back up. When we take that risk to follow God, or that risk to follow with Him, He's not going to let us fall. He's not going to let us just totally sink. He's going to reach out His hand to us and help us out. Amen? Come forward if you need prayer this morning. And let's just worship God here this morning, these final minutes. And just let the words of the song speak to you today. Lord, this morning we just we give you the thanks and the praise. And I pray that you would go up this week, this very day, as we begin each morning, Lord, that we can come before you and worship you, magnify you. But Lord, that part of our prayer is that God send us. Let us be the vehicle that you can pass a miracle through to bless somebody else's life, to share God with them. Father, I pray that you'd go before us. Let your presence go with us, dear God. We give you the thanks. We give you the praise. In your name we ask. Amen. As you leave, shake a hand. Same as last week. Tell them you were born for this.